From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Chloe here. July 28th. Health and longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from phys.org. Q&A. What influences teens' career expectations? A cross-national observational study of US and UK teens using two decades of survey data found growing career ambition. More adolescents now name high-status jobs, doctors, engineers, CEOs, than they did 20 years ago. Family socioeconomic status mattered differently. In the US, low-income kids were almost as likely as wealthier peers to aim for top-tier occupations. In the UK, the gap stayed larger. Bottom line, ambition is rising on both sides of the Atlantic. But background still influences British teens more than American ones. Next. Second, from Smart is Sexy. 10 women, one table, and the art of not needing saving. I just got out of a night that felt more like a chic dinner party than a business summit. 10 women founders, spanning fashion, events, sports, PR, and more, sat around a red-lit table in West Hollywood, sharing both their biggest wins and the messy, honest bits that usually stay hidden. They talked about hiring headaches, the guilt of taking a vacation, the uncertainty of what to build next, and even the awkwardness of a third date, all while running eight-figure brands or gearing up for the next growth stage. What stuck with me was how comfortably they held those contradictions. They could be wildly successful and still be figuring out the next move, confident in their vision, yet aware of moments where they handed their agency away. The conversation kept circling back to agency, whether it's something you're born with or a decision you make to stop waiting for permission. One simple takeaway: deciding to own your choices is the first step, and then you keep choosing it every day. When the topic turned to showing up in rooms with people who seem farther ahead, the advice was less about proving value and more about being present. Bring good energy, listen, and let relationships develop over time, rather than trying to extract immediate payoff. That mindset also shaped their thoughts on AI. It's now an expected skill, not a replacement for judgment, and the extra hour it frees up can be spent building, resting, or just being. The evening wound down with stories about love, friendship, and the ways ambition can ripple into personal life. Everyone agreed that a partner should amplify, not dim, a woman's drive, and that true connection means finding someone whose love doesn't demand you shrink. In the end, the table proved that even the most accomplished people thrive when they can be raw, curious, and unapologetically themselves. Up next, third, from phys.org. Q&A, lawbreakers or like us, exploring how partisans think about immigration. Interviews with political activists in Southern California showed stark differences in how migrants are viewed, either like us and deserving of rights, or lawbreakers undeserving of social belonging and benefits. And then, fourth, from Dead Hidden. What's buried next to Jude 14? The clip that went viral was less about giants than about selling a new edition of the Book of Enoch. The speaker used Jude 14, where Enoch is quoted once, to suggest that the Bible had hidden a whole book about giants and fallen angels. He then linked that to a sensational story about a cave in Afghanistan, a cargo plane, and a secret pilot, all to get people curious enough to buy his edition. The argument rests on three shaky steps. The Jude citation means Jude trusted Enoch, that this makes Enoch a canonical book, and that something was deliberately removed. The first two are false. Jude is simply quoting a single line, not endorsing the whole work. The third never happened. No council or scholar ever buried a text. The Bible already mentions giants, Genesis 6, and gives concrete details, Deuteronomy 3, without needing any extra manuscript. What the podcast really did was use a brief biblical quote as a hook, then spin a mystery to sell a book. The giant story is a marketing ploy, not new evidence. And the real question is whether listeners will look beyond the hype to the text that's already in their hands. Next, fifth, from the eye wall, flooding risks grow between Philadelphia, New York City, and southern New England Tuesday. There's a moderate risk flash flood outlook for Tuesday, stretching from northern New Jersey through New York City and into the lower Hudson Valley, with a smaller but still notable chance of heavy rain reaching Philadelphia and southern New England. Radar this morning showed about 3.12 inches already falling in places like Spring Valley, NY, and Ridgewood, NJ, and the models are still flagging a 5-inch-plus total over a 24-hour period for the lower Hudson Valley, with lower probability pockets extending toward Philly and western Connecticut. The system will move eastward, late morning across the Poconos and Catskills, then spread into the New York City metro area by early to mid-afternoon. Some high-resolution guidance suggests a slower start, but the overall picture is still a broad, moisture-laden band that could dump a lot of rain in a short window. Because the area has already been wet for the past week, plus runoff will be quicker, raising flash flood concerns. Flood watches are already in place, so if you're heading out tomorrow, keep an eye on local alerts, avoid driving through standing water, and consider delaying non-essential trips. Stay safe out there. Up next, sixth, from Everything is Amazing. Why it's fun to actually do something. I've been thinking a lot about trees lately and how we can do more to plant and care for them. It's not a magic solution to the environmental crisis, but it's definitely worth exploring. I came across the concept of tree equity calculators, which measure how fairly trees are distributed across neighborhoods. They can help identify areas that need more trees and estimate how many are needed to reach a local target. The 330-300 rule suggests that everyone should be able to see 3 trees from their home, live in a neighborhood with 30% canopy cover, and be within 300 meters of quality green space. I looked up my street's tree equity score, and it's only 61 points, which is comparable to some barren areas in nearby Glasgow. It's a reminder that there's work to be done. But what can we do about it? Al Humphrey's book, Unwilded, suggests that we can take action, even if it's just small steps. He talks about the importance of getting involved and finding creative ways to make a difference. He also discusses the concept of shifting baseline syndrome, where each generation fails to see the radical changes in its environment because it can't look beyond its own fleeting existence. I was inspired by Al's approach and decided to take action. I'm going to cut beef from my diet completely and see if I can make a difference by planting more trees. It's a small start, but it's a start nonetheless. Unwilded is a great book that challenges us to think differently about the environmental crisis and to take action. I highly recommend it. And then, seventh, from MD Reports. Fauci, Diary of a Celebrity. You know, I was reading this thing about Dr. Fauci's diary, and it's actually pretty revealing. So, it turns out that behind all the serious public health stuff, Fauci's diary is filled with notes about how famous he's becoming. Like, he's really into these glowing newspaper profiles and TV appearances, and he's even documenting all the celebrity praise he's getting. It starts in January 2020 when Lou Dobbs calls him, saying President Trump is going to reach out and that Dobbs described Fauci as the smartest person he knows. From there, Fauci becomes this administration's spokesperson, and he's basically the face of the COVID response. He even writes that President Trump tells him he's a famous guy and spends 20 minutes asking him questions. Fauci's pretty pleased with himself, writing that his friends are calling him a national hero, and members of Congress feel safe with him. By March, he's boasting that the press is going wild for him. It's almost like his diary turns into a scrapbook of his own celebrity. It's worth noting that this isn't just about Fauci's ego, it's also about how the media and the public are responding to him. He's getting this kind of attention, and it's affecting how he sees himself. It's a pretty interesting dynamic, and it raises some questions about how we perceive expertise and authority in public health. Next, 8th from fears.org. New sensing method measures laser cutting depth by tracking vaporization recoil. So I found this article about a new method for measuring how deep a laser cuts into a material. It's called laser dicing, and it's used to separate individual chips from a semiconductor wafer. The thing is, it's hard to control the process and get the right results, especially when you're working with delicate materials. This new method uses something called vaporization recoil to track how deep the laser is cutting. Essentially, when the laser hits the material, it vaporizes the surface, and the recoil from that vaporization helps measure the depth of the cut. It's a pretty cool idea, and it could make it easier to achieve proper yield in laser dicing. The researchers who developed this method tested it on a few different materials, including silicon and a type of plastic. They found that it worked pretty well, but they also noted that it's still a relatively small study, so more research is needed to confirm the results. Up next, 9th from fizz.org. Diet reveals what life was like 2,700 years ago in an Italian community: gender inequality, social status, and migration. Researchers analyzed the isotopes in human remains from an Italian necropolis to learn about daily life 2,700 years ago. They found evidence of a community with distinct social hierarchies, where men and women had different diets and possibly different roles in society. The study suggests that men had a more varied diet, possibly due to their involvement in trade and migration, while women's diets were more limited and local. This inequality persisted even after death, with men's graves showing more elaborate funerary symbols indicating higher social status. The researchers also found that some individuals had moved from other regions, highlighting the community's connections to a broader network. And then, 10th, from New Atlas. 1.7 million planned satellites to have devastating impact on astronomy. For the first time, a European Southern Observatory, ESO, study has quantified the threat to astronomy posed by a large number of highly reflective satellites planned to launch in the coming years. Category: astronomy, science, refractor, science and health tags, satellite, astronomy, stars, light pollution, ESO. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.